to speak up. Okay, well, having a little weird computer issue here, which is a little annoying. But we're here with Speak Up anyway. Welcome, Peter.
Yes, hello. We're still waiting for IU.
Yes, we are still waiting for IU, but she'll be here in just a moment. My name is Magnus Tiewold, and with me is Peter Haskell. And coming in just a couple moments is IU Sakamoto, and this is our first Monday Speak Up of 2024. And,
Well, the station's closed during the holiday.
It was closed. Well, the whole building we're located in was closed over the holiday. So, you know, for about a week and a half, we had to run the whole thing by remote control, which was, we have modern tools to help us do that. So it's not impossible. Back in the day when we had to put everything on the air by hand, and our best option for extended, unattended running was a looping CD, it's a lot easier than it used to be.
Well, didn't you always have access to the area?
Well, that was the thing, too. We had in our old location, we're now located in the Student Union building here at SFU, the new Student Union building, which is not as open as we'd like it to be, whereas we used to have a space with our own access to the outside, so we could come and go as we wanted 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
You also heard the buses on the air a bit.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. I'm going to run a little intro now that I've figured things out. Well, I didn't figure things out. Well, I did figure things out. But computers are being a little weird today. One of the problems of Monday morning, you come in on Monday morning thinking everything's going to be just fine. Mm. And you're one of the first people here in the morning. So that's a little annoying. But...
You are the first person here in the morning.
It's true.
Okay. Is this dead air now, Magnus?
Not really.
Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
All right, good morning. We're back again after getting things going. I love live radio.
It's okay. It's
okay. We are going to talk today on the show. We have a bit of an interview with the ombudsperson for the student ombudsperson for SFU. Her name is Laura Reed, and she is with the Ombuds Office at SFU, a joint project of SFU and the Simon Fraser Student Society and the Graduate Student Society. And we're going to talk a bit with her about some of the services they offer. It's actually really important. But Peter's here also. And what are you going to talk about today, Peter?
Common Core United States, which Bill Gates funded quite a bit of, which is still in 40 states.
Yeah. What is Common Core? Because I'm sure you're going to expand on it later.
Common Core was changing how the primary K to 12, as they say, how it would be taught. It was standardized testing. Was the idea of standardized mm-hmm. testing? And one of the controversies is the mathematics,
right?
Which some people find convoluted, which I find convoluted,
right?
And but there's more to say, but you wanted it brief.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, that's coming up towards the latter part of the show. Ayu Sakamoto will be here very soon with her artist profile. But first, let's go forward with our conversation with SFU Ombudsperson Laura Reed. If you're a student at SFU and everything goes smoothly for you, you will never need the services of the ombudsperson or the student advocates who work for the Simon Fraser Student Society. The Graduate Student Society, each of them has a student advocate. But if you ever find yourself in a very difficult situation with your academics or a conflict with a professor or your department, maybe there's been an academic problem you've had, maybe you've got some bad advice on how to proceed on an issue, maybe there's a personal issue. You can get caught up in the university's complaint system, which is very convoluted and not always working very well. Like a lot of institutions, it sort of runs its own complaint processes, which start at the closest level of the to the complaint. Often you start by talking to your department or your or the dean, and then it sort of goes from there. And it can be a very difficult situation with significant power imbalances between a student with an issue and their professor or their department or the university itself. And for that reason, there are these offices to help support students. And they come in two different types. One is the ombudsperson, or the ombuds office, Office of the Ombudsperson. And as I said, it is funded and overseen it's by the university, by Simon Fraser University itself, but also by the Simon Fraser Student Society and the Graduate Students Society. And its purpose is to provide a place for students to go and get unbiased advice. As I said, for students, there's often a huge power imbalance, and that can make it really difficult when dealing with university officials around an issue of conflict or complaint. And so the ombudsperson is there as an independent and non-partial source of information, so a student can go there and get help and information on how to proceed with a process. The other two, both the Graduate Student Society and the Simon Fraser Student Society, which represent undergraduates, have advocates. And their role is a little bit different, whereas the ombudsperson is to be neutral. The advocates are able to actively advise and act on behalf of students in the place of a conflict. All these offices are really important to students if they ever find themselves in this situation. This interview coming up here with Laura Reed, SFU ombudsperson, is part of a larger project we're looking at here at CGSF, looking at this whole system and how these issues are dealt with within the university and at other universities. So this interview we're playing today is, I'm going to play just a part of it today. It's part of a larger interview, but we're just going to focus on the bit about talking about the office and what it does and how you can access its services and what you can expect there. In coming weeks, we'll also have another interview with similar information from the GSS and SFSS advocates. So you look for that coming up. The larger part of the interview gets into some of the issues and challenges and problems with how the university deals with complaints, but we're going to save that for a later date. Today was really just about information and let you know about what services are available. So I'm just going to set this up because there we go. A little bit of a technical issues we were dealing with. In front of us getting everything ready as we normally would, but here we go. All right, this is Laura Reed, SFU ombudsperson. All right, joining me today is Laura Reed of SFU's Office of the Ombudsperson. Welcome to the program today.
Thank you
for joining me.
Thanks for inviting me.
So what is the Office of the Ombudsperson, and what does it do?
Yeah, so good question, because it's not a name that people are generally familiar with or have had lots of experience with. Partly that may be because it's actually a Swedish word, ombudsperson. It's actually ombudsman, but they decided that they wanted a more gender-neutral term. So what is the Office of the Ombudsperson? It is an independent, impartial, and confidential office at SFU where students can go if they have any concerns about treatment at the university, whether it's they're concerned about unfairness, if there's a conflict of some sort, interpersonal tension dynamics. It's a space where students can go, discuss their situation, and receive support and advice about what their options are, how to evaluate those options, and potentially, depending on the situation, I can play anything from a coaching role, offering information, advice, all the way to more of a direct intervention. So in certain circumstances, it might be appropriate for me to speak with someone at the university about a situation and even provide a recommendation about what I think is fair in that situation. So it's kind of like a watchdog for fairness at an institution.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's playing an advisory role to the student. It's not a body making decisions around these conflicts.
Exactly. So I do not have decision-making authority at the university. Ombuds offices typically operate through moral suasion.
Mm-hmm.
So because I'm not that impartiality, that's one of the pillars of ombudsing. That means I'm not advocating for a specific student, but I'm also not defending the university.
Right.
I'm basically an advocate for fairness.
Right.
And so that's the lens through which I view everything. And if I'm making a recommendation, that's always how it's going to be framed, is through the lens of fairness. And sometimes that's through the legal lens of, like, what is a fair process.
Right.
And sometimes it will be relational fairness, just the way that someone is treated. If I have concerns about that, about the fairness of that. And then finally, the substantive, if a decision's been made and there are fundamental concerns about the fairness of that decision, I can also raise that as an issue, but I can't force anyone to change how they've approached something. I can just raise my concerns and make a recommendation.
So for the student, what they can count on is getting reliable information and really figuring out what they're getting into.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I guess the issues are big and small when they come to you, but students must be pretty upset and pretty wound up about things when they come to you, because it can be a huge, big deal. And I would imagine, you know, it'd be kind of scary, some of these things coming towards them and the processes involved and
definitely.
Stuff.
Definitely. I think in some ways, you're right, like there are big and small things that come to the office. And that's one of the, I think, important things to know, is that the door, I'll never not meet with someone.
Yeah.
If there's a concern, then I'll always take the time to listen to what that concern is. And it's also a bit of like a navigational office or wayfinding office. It's a huge institution. It's a huge bureaucracy. It can be really hard to find your way around and know who is the person I need to speak with to address this concern. And that's also where I help out a lot, is just having that background in navigating the institution and how it operates, and also what the rights are of students.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think our students often, students at SFU, receive a great education and what their rights are at the institution. And so I'm also there to make sure they understand what those rights are. And if they choose to go through a complaint process, or if they're engaged in a process themselves, whether it's student conduct, academic integrity, I help walk them through the process and what to expect and how to prepare for each stage.
So the Ombuds Office is jointly funded by the university, but also by the two student societies, the Graduate Student Society and the Undergraduate Student Society. What's a bit of the history of that?
Yeah, there's a long history, and I don't know all of it. I know that SFU was the first ombuds office at a post-secondary institution in North America.
Wow.
And that gets trotted out at conferences sometimes, and everyone kind of turns and applauds. And actually, that was through the SFSS, mm-hmm. or whatever their original yeah. name was. But originally, the Ombuds Office was part of the student union organization. And I think they phrased it, someone found an article from the student newspaper when it was first opened, and it was about helping the little man fight back against maladministration,
right.
is kind of how they phrased it. At some point over time, it moved out of the student union. I think sometimes student unions can change how they approach and prioritize yeah. things. And I think the university provided kind of like the base stable funding for the office.
Right.
But it is really important. One of the pillars of Ombudsine is independence. In order for me to say I'm arm's length from the university, it is really important that I have the support, whether it's financial or at times it's been in kind. So mm-hmm. through the provision of space or resources, that the student unions are also kind of jointly supporting the role of the ombuds. So, yeah, it's evolved over time.
Right. So just in terms of your, I guess, the structure of it, is there some sort of reporting relationship
yeah.
to all three partners in this?
So, yes. So for administrative purposes, I report to the university secretary.
Yep.
And that has actually changed even in the short time that I've, it's not short anymore, but 6 years that I've been in the job. But my most robust reporting, so not just administrative, here's when I'm taking vacation, et cetera, right. is to the Ombuds Advisory Committee. And that has representatives from SFSS, GSS, as well as student services, the academic integrity coordinators on there, someone from graduate studies, and then the university secretary chairs
right.
that group. So they help me kind of keep my pulse on what's happening at the university, what concerns are. And then I go to them when I'm drafting my annual report
right.
For feedback on the draft before it gets published. So that can be really invaluable of just even identifying, oh, I think you've misunderstood or missed something about this particular issue. And it really helps me like make sure that when I'm making recommendations, they're as useful as possible and actionable. Yeah.
So both the GSS and the SFSS have their own student advocates.
Yeah.
And they have a role more to support and fight on behalf of the students. Your
yeah.
role, as you've explained, is to be a bit more neutral. But how do you see the difference between those roles?
Yeah. I was extremely thrilled when the SFSS got an advocate because that's a fairly recent phenomenon. I think it's within the last 2 or 3 years. And to be honest, before there was an SFS advocate, SFSS, I was walking a pretty thin line sometimes.
Right.
Of advocating for students who needed that support. The way that I distinguish, there is some overlap.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that we can do similar things in terms of helping students prepare for WE appeals. That's withdrawal under extenuating
okay.
circumstances. Giving feedback on the strength of an appeal for an academic integrity case, et cetera. And I will often work quite closely. Just today I met with the GSS advocate. Yep. We have regular meetings. I meet with the SFSS advocate. And sometimes we will be approaching an issue from different angles, and that is actually what the strength of both of our positions are.
Mm-hmm.
So as an example, the GSS advocate might be putting forward an appeal on behalf of a student for a student conduct issue. And you know, they everyone who's dealing with the advocate, no, it's in their title, right? You are here to advocate for what's in the best interest of the student. And there are occasions when they will say to me, I think there's a fairness angle here, and I think it would be appropriate, or I'll ask you if you're willing to do this, to submit a separate memo or document about this issue purely from a fairness perspective. Because it's sometimes there's strength, or it's harder to dismiss something as purely a one-sided position. Mm-hmm. If I can come in and say, I have no bone in this fight. I'm not here as an advocate for any particular party, but I am an expert in fairness, and I think that you need to consider X, Y, and Z. So I think we're complementary. And I think also, I mean, there's enough demand at SFU that no one's stepping on anyone else's toes. There's right. more than enough concerns to go around that I think we have a really good relationship of deciding, okay, who has the capacity, who's best positioned to deal with this particular situation, and we'll have those conversations. I should say, because we're confidential, I won't have those conversations without first getting the permission from the student. And I know they operate the same way. So it's not that we're having discussions behind a student's back. It's with permission of, we think it might be helpful if we're able to discuss it or share information.
All right. That's a bit of an introduction to the Ombuds office here at SFU. Well, there's more to that interview that we'll be bringing you on a later broadcast. And as I said before, we have an interview with the SFSS and GSS Student Advocates, which we'll be bringing you in an upcoming week. If you need to get a hold of the Ombuds office, you can contact them by email at ombuds at sfu.ca. That's ombuds at sfu.ca. Or you can give the office a call at 778-782-4563. That's 782-4563. Emails is typically the fastest way to get a response and probably the preferred way of reaching out to them. The Ombuds office is located on the Burnaby campus, but also has office hours at the Harbor Center campus on Thursdays and the Surrey campus on alternating Wednesdays. So you can reach out to the Ombuds office at ombuds@sfu.ca to make an appointment and meet with Laura Reed. As you can probably tell a bit from that interview, she's very friendly and open. And if you need help and advice, or just need to figure out how to deal with a situation, how to proceed, go there as soon as you can. The sooner you can get the right advice, the better you're going to be in terms of dealing with your issue. But it's also nice just to get solid information to help you deal with the situation. You'll feel a lot better. Look forward to our interview with the SFSS and GSS advocates in the coming weeks. And once again, ombuds@sfu.ca if you need to reach out to the Ombuds office. As I was mentioning, one of the reasons we're talking to these folks is to raise awareness for that these services are available. I know when I was an undergraduate at university, I was lucky. I never ran into the kind of problems that required this sort of advice or advocacy, and I think I feel very lucky about that. But I do know people who have and have read some stories, and you can flounder for a long while not knowing how to deal with the situation. And often that really hurts your cause, because there's often timelines and deadlines that need to be followed. And if you miss them, sometimes you miss out on opportunities for getting your issue resolved, whether that's, you know, getting some fees returned for something or getting a situation corrected or anything. The sooner you can get good advice and good support, the better off you're going to be. All right. Ayu is joining us in the studio, and she's going to be bringing us your Music Profile, who are you going to be talking to today?
Today, I want to share with you the incredible violinist. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's from also Japan.
What's her name?
Her name is Himari Yoshimura.
Excellent. Cool. Well, we got a couple things to do before then. First, let's talk about the weather. And as you may have heard, we're in for a cold snap after a very mild December. Things are going to get a little colder. Already up here today at SFU, there is snow on the ground and it is snowing pretty steadily. So those of us here on top of the hill are going to be keeping a close eye on that in case we have to make a mad dash off the mountain before the buses stop running and the roads get all snowed up, which has happened many times before. The forecast for today is periods of wet snow mixed with rain. And overnight, it's going to be sometimes heavy rain. Next couple days are a little bit of mix of sun and cloud. And then on Thursday, things get turned to cold with snow and temperatures down to -2 or up to -2 during the day and down to -8 overnight. So that's some weather coming our way. Here is Bird Note, and then we'll be back with Ayu.
This is Bird Note. I'm Nick Byard, Bird Note's Executive Director. Climate change, habitat destruction, and invasive species have taken a toll on bird populations. It's a difficult reality to face, but it's not the end of the story. There are many things people can do to protect birds, like this sora, a bird that lives in marshes. Some actions may start small, like planting a native wildflower or taking a trip without a car. But when you combine the efforts of many people working to help birds, the effects are multiplied. Supporting conservation organizations, volunteering, and talking to friends and family about ways that they can help birds all spread the impact even further. And it's no coincidence that what helps birds also helps people. Shade trees provide a place to nest and cool down neighborhoods. Taking public transit keeps carbon out of the air and reduces traffic congestion. A wildlife-friendly garden offers habitat to many species, like this Carolina wren, and provides a place for people to relax and smell the wildflowers. Bird Note is launching a 3-year campaign to inspire 1 million people to take action to help birds. To learn more, visit birdnote.org.
All right, Ayu, tell us about your feature for today.
Okay, today I want to share with you the incredible violinist I recently discovered, and her name is Himari Yoshimura from Japan, and she's only 12 years old. And so let's start by listening to her performance. This is Violin Concerto No. 1 by Paganini, which she played during the International Grammy competition for young violinists held in Belgium in 2019.